Это у маликомио!
Вы хотите меня видеть?
Да, да. Идите в спортивные, в рабочие обиды и принесите мне На помощь! На помощь! Don't cry! Hold it back!
All that hate's gonna burn you up, kid.
Keep some warm.
You want blindfolds? This fire is a genial condition. I never heard of it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to You Have Tread on Me Radio. Tonight we'll be having a few guests on, possibly later on with CCOM. Still trying to work out getting them online here with us. If you would like to participate, we have the chat room on youhavetreadonme.com/radio. And I would really like to have some listeners on. If you have anything you want brought up, anything you disagree with, anything. Open lines whenever. Like Randy had said in one of the previous shows, we only present solutions. I don't talk about the news, anything like that. I will be tonight, though, so you can't take me on my word for that completely. But, you know, going to be talking about this Indiana thing tonight, and quite interesting developments since then. That was earlier on this week. So we'll be talking about that, and then hopefully we'll be able to get CCOM on. We have a few people coming on there, Amelia, Darren, trying to get a few other people on. But until then, feel free, type your questions in the chat room or put your Skype name in there. We'll get you added and get you online. So let's start. You know, the Indiana Supreme Court has now ruled that in order to decrease the escalation of violence, the police no longer need warrant or probable cause to enter a home. And if you try to resist, you will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Well, I was having a personal conversation a few nights ago about this to a person who doesn't call himself militia. He's not a patriot. None of this stuff. And well, he said about the same thing I did. And I don't think I need to explain to anybody what my thoughts on this are. It is horrific what is happening right now. The Supreme Court, a few years ago, I remember being extremely pissed off about this. The Supreme Court of the United States said the Miranda rights, a few of them were stricken, so you no longer had the right to have an attorney present, or counsel present, while they initiate questioning. So you can say, I want to see my lawyer, I want a lawyer, but they're going to take you into their little, what they call interview room, because interrogation, quite frankly, is a little too rough. Regardless of whether you scream you want your lawyer or not, they don't care. And now the Supreme Court does this. It's quite blatant declaration of war against just the Constitution, but the people. And what's worse is a sheriff in Indiana came out and said, hey, I'll go door to door if I feel like I need to. Really? I can tell you firsthand that Northwest Indiana gun shops are fresh out of AK-47s and 7.62x39 Wolf. All you can find out there for the 7.62 is the expensive brass, hunting stuff, match ammo, and Tula, which is garbage. There is no Wolf, and there is very few AK-47s left. So that tells you exactly what is happening right now, exactly where everybody is at. People in the Soviet Socialist Republic of Illinois are, you know, they don't call themselves patriots. They don't say militia. You say the M-word loud enough, people are bound to get nervous around here. But if somebody comes into my home without a warrant, without probable cause, without anything, there's going to be issues. These are people who don't call themselves patriots. That was J.J. Johnson who said that in 95. Was that 95 or something like that? People don't call themselves militia if some state-sponsored terrorist is going to kick down my door or going to blow somebody away. The militias that are out there right now, well-established, statewide or community-wide organizations, they don't need to do too much recruiting. Everybody out there just needs to look at what the federal government and state governments and county governments are coming up with. Like deciding that cops don't need a warrant anymore. And furthermore, who does the Supreme Court think they are? That they can decide the constitutionality of the Constitution? Not sure I understand that. You know?
Not supposed to.
I simply fail to understand where they get off. Who do you think you are? I want to look at these politicians and these court justices and all these people who somehow think that the Constitution is negotiable. I want to look them in the face and say, who do you think you are? What business is it of yours to tell me that I will be prosecuted? If I was to break into somebody's house, I'd be charged with breaking and entering, aggravated assault, whatever. They are breaking and entering and committing aggravated assault, battery, with a deadly weapon. When I defend myself against that, I get charged? Oh no. Something wrong there. And exactly. Militia, patriot, American is the new form of heretic or witch now. Exactly. I don't know how many listeners I have in Illinois, but it is the definition of witch hunt here. I am beyond words right now. This blatant declaration of intent that these people are putting out there. I'm done ranting on it. You know. Just going to get worse. I'm just going to get worse.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous, and I'm not going to be able to get my rant in without, you know, going to some colorful language. So if curse words offend you, you might want to stick your fingers in your ears, but it certainly shouldn't be any more offensive than what the government's doing, and if you're offended by curse words, you're certainly not going to really like the shitstorm that's about to happen. These fuckers have gone too goddamn far. This has got to stop. And people are going to end up losing their lives over this, because what's going to happen now that they've made it legal for the cops to enter people's houses for any willy-nilly fucking reason that they damn well please, whether it's to try to do their jobs or to steal your TV and rape your wife, you're no longer allowed to defend yourself. I don't think there's going to be too many people that are going to be on board with that. You know, especially when they start getting out of control and abusing this situation. And you know that they will, because you've already got crooked cops, you know, running theft rings and all sorts of other shit out there that is already a problem. And now that they're immune from being, you know, defended against, oh, good grief, watch out. It's coming. And it's going to start because somebody's going to defend themselves, and there's going to be a bloodbath, and it's just going to boil over, and we're going to be in the middle of a fucking shitstorm. You know, these people are going to keep pushing and pushing. But well, the good news is, though, you know, with them keeping pushing like that, they're waking people up faster than we can.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all going to come to an ugly head because, like you said, you know, there's no AK-47s to be found. Everybody's been buying their guns and getting their ammo. They're getting ready, lock and load. You know, this kind of violent, you know, shitstorm that could happen out of this is not what we want to see. We've been trying everything in our power to come up with a nonviolent solution to all of this. And it's going to start all on its own, you know, without us having to do a damn thing, because they will, again, as the pattern has held for a century or more, we'll be drawing first blood yet again and again and again. And we're already near the breaking point. You know, people are burned out on being, you know, afraid of this crap anymore. You know, it's all wearing off. The lies are no longer working. You know, the more lies they tell, the more aware and awake people become, because they start to realize that the government is totally full of shit. Everything they say is a lie. It's all propaganda. It's designed to control and to manipulate and to enslave. It's got to stop. In Indiana, that's not the only place this is a problem. They're doing this shit in Kentucky. Hell, in Tennessee, the cops are roving around the highways looking for people with cash to steal. You know, forfeiture, my ass. You know, it's gone beyond the point of ridiculous. And now the government's starting to crack down on the pensions of even the federal workers. Yeah, let's see how well that goes over. We're heading for a major collapse. The shit is about to hit the fan, and we need to be prepared. One thing that I have heard on another radio program, you know, about this stuff is an effective nonviolent countermeasure, you know, at least to a certain extent, is massive amounts of video surveillance. You catch them abusing this shit, make sure that they get on YouTube the very same day. We got to start watching them like they're watching us. We got to return the favor. Because they're as afraid of our video cameras and our internet and our YouTube as they are our guns. And with a video camera, you don't directly cause someone to lose their life. So, you know, think of those options. We need to document this. We need to get the people to stand up and hopefully do something meaningful in a fairly nonviolent way, because once this gets kicked off, it's going to be one domino after another, after another, after another, and it's going to be a very messy, bloody situation. And my advice to all of you is to get as far away from the big cities as possible. Have yourself an escape plan. Have yourself a rally point, you know, with your comrades. You're not going to be able to survive this crap alone. You need each other. And you want to be as far away from the dense populated areas, because that's where it's going to be happening most. You know, you're going to fare a lot better in the small towns. You know, we've got, you know, some small communities around here that are still very community and family oriented. And we're lucky to be endowed with constitutional, lawful sheriffs that, you know, run a very ethical and clean sheriff's department. But that's not the case a lot of places, like you were saying about that sheriff. You know, it just goes on and on and on. You know, the abuses will never end.
Now, I wrote a blog night before last, I believe. Been having some very interesting things going on in my family, and the days have been kind of a blur due to lack of sleep, but couple days, within a few days, I put a blog up on militiaunityproject.spruz.com, spruz.com, and it was a transcription. I had written this, you know, in a notebook, and I was debating on whether or not to put it out. Now, this overt action against the Constitution and the people is just so telling of how these people act, who they are, and what they want. I want people to know, I want our posterity to know, that we did not go down this road by choice. We wanted to settle this peacefully. We wanted to govern ourselves through committees and continental congresses and things like that. Whether or not they failed is one thing, but we're trying to do this peacefully. And just as JFK said, he who makes peaceful revolution impossible makes violent revolution inevitable. And I am very sorry that I have to say that. Because just like Casey Nethercott said, wanting that kind of justice by the cartridge box is false patriotism. That would destroy this country. And that's not something that we need to be doing. That's not something that we need to want. Now we're going to try to bring in one of our guests. Are you there? Can you hear me? Okay.
I think we may still be having some microphone problems.
Okay. Well, the guest will be put off a little bit. Darren Wilburn is about 10-15 minutes away from coming online. We'll be talking about CECOM. Back to what I was saying, you know, I do not want this to turn into violent restoration. Now, don't take that and mistake me for somebody who's going to hesitate. And I suggest that anybody else take heed of this. If this sheriff decides that he's going to prep his troops, deputies.
Same difference.
And start going door to door, regardless of their intention, whether it's door to door, we're just asking politely if we can come in. I know how police officers work. There is no asking politely. It is making you feel guilty and making you feel like you did something wrong if you don't let them in. They will try to connive and lie their way into your home. And once they're in, regardless of whether or not you're doing something wrong, they just violated you and your home. Now, if this sheriff decides that he's got the balls enough to do this, I will be out there to meet him and his troops. And I suggest everybody else, too. This needs to be where we draw that line. This is enough. So go ahead. Try it. Personally, I don't think he's got the testicular fortitude. There, you know, right away after the sheriff had said this on Fox News, some press conference, there was a Facebook group to get him out of office. Okay. A Facebook group.
It's going to take more than Facebook.
Yeah. Sorry, folks. I mean, it's great that that's there and people are fired up, I guess, but not quite enough. How about we get a political action group together of pissed off people who are there and who vow to say that we will protect homeowners from unreasonable search and seizure? How about that? Or how about a political action group or committee or whatever to
Committee of Safety and good lawful militias behind them to protect your neighborhoods. That's what you're going to have. That they're going to draw first blood. I hope we can make this short-lived, but be ready for anything.
Yeah. Now, how about we get a political action group, not to get the sheriff out, but to get the people who voted without our consent, without being appointed by us, voted in. How about we try to legally get them out of office? How about that?
About recall, recall, recall.
Instead of cutting off an arm of the six-headed Hydra, how about we stab it in the heart and start where the problem is by removing the Supreme Court from office, who voted that the Constitution is no longer constitutional, in order to prevent any escalation of violence. This is going to start violence.
It's what they want. That's exactly what they're trying to do, you know, is to draw it into a kind of conflict that they're ready for. That's why, you know, when it starts, we've got to take all of the things that we've been talking about and learning and fight this as out of the box as we possibly can. You know, we cannot afford to fight in their wheelhouse. You know, we will get chewed up and spit out. But with superior tactics and a little creativity, the opposite can be true. So we have to be very thoughtful about, you know, how we proceed with this and how it's going to play out. I don't know. You know, that first shot, you know, of the new revolution has yet to be fired yet, but I fear that it's coming soon. Got to get prepared and get ready. Get your committee and your militia strong. You're going to need them.
Yeah. Starts with the communities. If there was a committee of correspondence over the ham radio or even over CB radio relay network, anything, some kind of relay saying the regulars are out, the regulars are out, the regulars are out, and communities started creating roadblocks into their communities saying nobody in or out, prepare yourselves. What do you think about that? A committee of safety or not, that would be extremely effective. You really think that they got the balls to go after something like that? Sorry, deputy, you're not allowed in here. We know what you're here for, and you're not doing it. I know in my particular subdivision, there's only two roads in or out, and I could park my truck and block one of them.
Home field advantage, you know, you got to take advantage of that because, you know, being intimately more familiar with your home turf and, you know, what barricades and obstacles and pitfalls, you know, you can throw out there to slow your enemy down is going to be a huge asset to you. Fight on your turf, fight on your terms, fight with your tactics, you know, force them to adapt. They're not very good at it.
Right. You know, if you're sitting there training with their manuals, with the Ranger handbook, and training to the T with that handbook and with any Western Army's manuals, you're preparing to fail. And by failing to prepare, you are also preparing to fail. I guess we're getting into a different subject here, but if we don't prepare,
it's all related.
Yeah,
it's part of the solution. You know, we've outlined what the problem is, and you know, all of these things are, you know, aspects of, you know, solutions that need to be in place in order to get through this shitstorm.
Yeah, and hopefully we can paddle our way out of it.
It's actually good news, though. If we really think about this, you know, the fact that they're escalating this as fast as they can and going so over the top shows their desperation. You know, their whole house of cards is starting to fall apart, and they're lashing out. You know, they're speeding things up. The thing that would have to worry us is if they started slowing down and backing off for a little while, you know, get people comfortable again. They're aware that there's an awakening going on, and yet that hasn't deterred them from speeding up the agenda and being more blatant about it and waking more people up. You know, they can't see past this little panic that they're in, that, you know, it's finally starting to implode on them. It's all based on this fraudulent financial system, which can do only one thing, self-destruct. You know, so it's all going to come apart. You know, so we've got to stay strong and get through this. And I can see it getting messy if it's not handled right. And if we don't nip this shit in the ass in Indiana quickly, what's going to happen is, you know, some, you know, well-meaning narrative, well, we'll end up, you know, getting it up into the U.S. Supreme Court, and with the jackasses Obama's put on there, you can pretty much guarantee that that will become a nationwide policy. And then at that point, it's just a matter of, you know, days probably before the whole thing explodes. We don't have a whole lot more time. So if you haven't already been preparing, hop in your time machine, go back about 3 weeks and get started.
You have time machine?
It don't work. I wish it did. I wish it did. I'd have been clowning around doing something to, you know, put this crap down, you know, if I had it working.
There we go.
It's just a proverbial pipe dream at this point. You know, but, you know, since we can't go back, you know, 3 weeks or 20 years or whatever, we got to start today. You know, it starts in your own home, with your family, then your community. And that's as far as you need to go. That's as far as you need to go. If you get everybody in the nation just worried about the localities, you know, keeping their own neighborhoods and areas safe, defending each other. You know, don't worry so much about what's going on in Washington, D.C. or three states over. You have to concentrate on your imminent responsibility of defending your own neighborhoods. If everybody does that, hey, we got to, you know, licked across the board. Because, you know, people are, again, awake and involved. You know, if we want the right to self-determination, it's time for us to step up and get active and do something about it.
Now, this is something I've been saying for a while now, and I had mentioned this to you earlier, Dave. To be born free is luck. To live free is a responsibility, and to die free is a choice.
Yep, very well said.
And we need to understand this. It is not our right, it is our duty to preserve not just the ideals of the founders, but what they set forth for us, what they gave to us. And we need to think about our posterity, what we're going to give to them. I'm not going to leave my kids with this shit. It's time.
It's past time.
It's past time.
And the longer we wait, the more we're going to have to play catch up, and the more at a disadvantage we'll be. You know, the more prepared we are, the better chance we stand in getting out of this cleanly.
Well, stand and fight for what's right before the odds are stacked against us.
We should have been doing that 20 or 30 years ago. You know, the odds are against us, so we've got to use superior tactics and go about this in a fresh, completely, you know, unheard of way. You got to keep these guys off their script. They're completely ineffective when they get off their script, because they've been trained so rigidly on the script. This is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to do. But when a situation completely out of left field confronts them and they're thrown off balance, they're not thinkers. You know, they don't adapt. They don't know what to do. They become ineffective. And we've got to be able to, you know, keep the enemy off guard at all times. And it can be done with fairly nonviolent things, you know, just to keep them busy, keep them guessing. It doesn't have to be, you know, this big, gigantic slaughter. You know, because when that starts, the problem's going to be most of the wrong people are going to die. You know, there's only a very small group of people responsible for all this bullshit. Those are the ones that should be facing justice, not the pawns.
Right. It was like I said earlier, why try to get the sheriff out of office instead of first going for the justices? I swear, the next thing they're going to do is say that the Second Amendment is no longer constitutional.
Oh, yeah, they've been talking about that with the UN, you know, treaty, you know, trumping all it's bullshit. You know, they can say, you don't have that right, you know, that's not valid, blah, 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 blah. They haven't amended the Constitution, so it is still in full effect. You know, the honest, you know, lawful, you know, righteous path on this is to follow the Constitution, and you're going to meet resistance by invalid, usurping assholes. You know, the think that they can just state, oh, well, this isn't so anymore. No, that's bullshit. That's not how that works. That requires the Constitution to be amended. That has not happened. So therefore, all of the amendments are still in full play. Whether they like it or not, whether they say so or not, you know what their opinion is in their kangaroo court, it doesn't make a shit of difference. They can't do that without amending the Constitution, plain and simple. There is no provision for that anywhere in lawful law. They can pass all the illegal laws that they want. But if a law violates the Constitution and the principles thereof, it is immediately null and void, regardless of how it was passed or not. And we can't keep falling for this shit. You know, just because they say so, we're just supposed to go along with it? No, it's time to say no. No more.
No, it's not the Supreme Court's job, if I'm not mistaken, to decide whether or not the Bill of Rights is valid or constitutional. That is the job of a constitutional convention, which Article 5 calls for. You have to have all your chickens in a row, basically, to get a convention, and then it's fair game. But you know what? I don't care what you say. I don't care what the UN says. I don't care if you decide that the Constitution is no longer valid. Because guess what? I've taken an oath to protect and defend it. So have all of our soldiers, Marines, airmen. So have all of our police officers, believe it or not. When somebody says they're sworn in, they have sworn before their God to defend the Constitution.
Exactly.
Not the MI6 or one of those UK cloak and dagger garbage agencies that swears allegiance to the king or something like that. They have no obligation to the Magna Carta or anything like that. They are the ones who won't care, who obviously don't, because Britain is in horrible shape. You need to have a license for a fucking spoon, basically, now.
Yeah, pretty much. It's getting ridiculous, and that's because people have let it happen, and it's time for the people to stop letting it happen and do something useful. Don't go lashing out at the cops. Don't start anything. Don't provoke anything. You'll actually find that there's a good chunk of law enforcement, a lot of places, you know, that is being run constitutionally by decent sheriffs. You know, you've got good people out there, and we need them on our side. You know, so, you know, randomly lashing out and falling into the, oh, let's go pop a cop, you know, mentality is certainly a bad idea.
Right.
But if you get violated, you know, and they come in, they break in your home and steal your television set and try to rape your wife, I'll stand behind you and blowing their fucking heads off, because that's just not right. You know, they're in there for the purpose of committing a crime, and that is what they have basically legalized in their fictitious legal system. Now, it's legal for cops to do whatever they want to you, and you cannot resist. That's fucking bullshit.
Don't forget there is a difference between legal and lawful. I said this last week. Hitler didn't break any laws. Everything he did was legal. Stalin didn't break any laws. Everything he did was illegal. And now, if a cop was to kick in your door and then prosecute you for punching him in the face, that's nobody's breaking any law except for you.
Yep, exactly, but the laws aren't valid. A really good source of information and to really explain this lawful versus legal, go to AmericanFreedomBooks.com. Charles Irwin wrote a book about that. You get the first two chapters for free. And he really goes into that and really lays that out and explains exactly what we're talking about in pretty damn good detail. You know, basically everything that they've been doing with them, you know, all this legislation they've been passing is null, void, and invalid. It's fictitious. You know, it is not a lawful system. We don't need to get heavy into that. I told you where to go, AmericanFreedomBooks.com. You want to know more about it, definitely check it out. Charles knows what he's talking about.
Now, taking a step back here about cops, I know several who will more than likely fight next to me, and I'll gladly stand next to them shoulder to shoulder, not toe to toe. So going out and popping a cop, as you said, Dave, not the answer, because that's they're going to be the ones who are going to be fighting next to us, because no cop is going to go along with this. And if they do, well, they're I'm not going to say anything.
Sadly, some will, but not all. And a lot of them got into it for the right reason, you know, to, you know, get in there and serve the community and protect and serve. I know a lot of really fantastic officers out there. I know some bad ones too. and the good guys will be standing with us, and they won't tolerate this kind of crap. And you know, the same for, you know, inside our military, there's, you know, folks that aren't going to put up with this crap, and when shit hits the fan, they're going to be standing right next to us, defending us. You know, this has such a potential for getting to be such a mess, and we've got to be very careful about how we proceed, because, you know, we've already seen so much loss of life, you know, due to all of this crap, and it's such a fucking tragic waste. And looking into this possibility that it's just going to keep getting worse, it sickens me. You know, this shouldn't be necessary. You know, we should have never let this happen. We should have never let it go this far. This is what happens, folks, when you don't stand up for yourself over even the little things. You give them an inch, they take a mile, and it just keeps going and going and going until it's so far gone that you're facing this ugly situation where the odds are stacked against you, where you've really got to, you know, pull out all the stops and get creative to find a way to overcome it. We shouldn't be in this situation, but we only have ourselves to blame for it, because this resistance, you know, this drive for restoration, reformation, hasn't happened yet. It should have happened 20 years ago. Well, we still had a real easy shot at it, but it's gone so much farther now. Look what they're doing, how blatant they are. They're getting ready to drop the hammer. You know, they're looting the last bit of the money out of the country, and the last act of any government is to loot the nation. What are they doing? They're looting the nation. It's almost over.
Well, they're very brazen and very open about working with the United Nations and international entities of the like. In the book, now I don't get paid for doing the show. I don't get subsidies or royalties or anything for mentioning these books that I do mention. So keep that in mind. Nobody's paying me for this. I'm reading, or I just got done reading, Foreign Enemies and Traitors by Matthew Bracken. And he did a series of books. That was the second book. In this book, it's pretty, I would say, accurate of what could happen. The 5th Special Forces Group, whose motto is De Oppresso Liber, which is to oppress or to liberate the oppressed, excuse me. Most of the U.S. military, especially the 5th Special Forces, was basically given garrison duty. They sit on the sidelines, hang out at the base, still get a paycheck. While the foreign, in this book it was the Kazakhs, the Mexicans, Pakistanis, and others, they did all the dirty work. While our American soldiers, for the most part, stayed at home. Or stayed on base, still got their paycheck. Kept them quiet. Kept them from doing anything, because those are the ones who are going to stand next to us. Nobody ever talks about the National Guard unit from Utah who is in the Katrina aftermath, who refused to confiscate guns. They weren't in New Orleans. They were in a small town. That was a video I saw about a few weeks ago.
Absolutely. That proves that there are, you know, still good guys, you know, out there on our side, and we cannot forget that, and we have to sometimes look hard to find those good stories, because, you know, even the alternative media has got this habit of just bad stuff, bad stuff, bad stuff. But as long as we're talking about books, you definitely need to get Resistance to Tyranny by Joseph P. Martino. If you have not already got that book, stop what you're doing, go over to Amazon and get a copy of that book. Get a few copies of that book. Pass them out.
Yeah, definitely. I would suggest, not required, but very, very suggested read.
I'd require it.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, read the damn book.
I will. I'll say it. It's required reading.
Required reading for militia members and Committee of Safety libraries. At least a few copies on hand. It's a great book. I'm almost done with it. I've been jumping between that, The Art of War, and this book I just finished here by Matthew Bracken. Now, next week, I'm going to try to get Smiter on to talk about incorporating what Cav Scout had said, the 36 stratagems, and incorporating that with asymmetrical warfare and preparing the militias for that. You need to understand that this will not be a toe-to-toe fight. We will get our asses handed to us 10 times out of 10. We don't have the resource, we don't have the logistics, we don't have the supply lines, we don't have any of that. But what we can do, I discussed with Major Cross last week, if every member of your unit went to a big box home supply store, bought PVC pipe, 2 end caps, some super glue, and put about $120, $150 worth of food, ammo, medical supplies, gas masks, filters, things like that, just $150 in a $5, $6, $10 PVC pipe setup, and bury that in every one of your members of the unit has one of those, will never need a long logistic supply line. And if you have created your committee of safety and your community is set and friendly and together with each other, standing under one banner, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, freedom that our founders gave to us, then you won't need any of the logistics. You won't need supply lines. You won't need the manufacturing abilities. When you're out there, every one of your neighbors is going to be able to walk out and hand you what you need. This is, as long as we have support, we have a good chance of winning. Thank you, Tomahawk. That's exactly what I was trying to say. Suppose I took too long to say it. But, I mean, it's time, folks. It's beyond time. You and Randy have been saying best time to do it was 15, 20 years ago. Second best time is right now. And, yeah, supplies are readily available right now. I talked about that last week also. A few places to get things. $10 PVC setup. $150 worth of gear, bury it in the backyard. Plain and simple. You'll never need a logistics trail. Okay, I'm not repeating myself on that. They're never going to be happy with simply taking away the fourth article. And if you think it's just going to be isolated to Indiana, I'm surprised California or Illinois wasn't the first place to do it.
Yeah, actually, I was kind of too. That just goes to show you. But it's coming. You know, it's coming. You know, Kentucky's been doing it. Tennessee's been doing it. You know, this is only going to keep getting worse until it's forced to not be worse. And by the word force, it doesn't have to be at the end of a rifle barrel. You know, we have to stand up with resolve. You know, we have to show these cocksuckers that we're not playing around anymore, that we're not going to back down, that we're going to do whatever it takes. And just by, you know, a strong unified front, we might not have to fire a single shot. And that would be the most ideal thing we could ever hope for an outcome. But it's probably not going to be reality, so we've got to be prepared for the alternative. But having said that, that is no excuse for not getting together and standing strong and speaking out and saying no. You know, is it a start of, you know, finding ways of protesting that don't just last a few hours. You know, keep after it just over and over and over again, you know, where everybody's seeing it. You know, you get everybody fired up and working together. You know, we need to unify this nation. We need to quit falling into all of these divide and conquer traps, you know, for issues that aren't as important as the core issues that we're facing. We're looking at the destruction of our republic. You know, the nation that we're all supposed to be, you know, proud about, that we're willing to, you know, fight and die and give our lives for. You know, it's in serious peril right now, you know, from a lot of different places. And it's because we're divided so horribly amongst ourselves that we'd rather fight and argue about the minutiae than to agree on the core things that founded the nation that we all agree on, that we've believed in and swore oaths to this entire time. You know, just because we don't agree with somebody on, like, say, their stance on abortion or gay marriage doesn't mean that we shouldn't be fighting shoulder to shoulder with them to restore the republic, to make sure that we have the freedom to have self-determination in our communities for these other issues.
Now,
otherwise, it's going to be decided for us by foreign powers. These are the rules you're going to live by.
I need to step in real quick, Dave. Randy here is saying uniform and badge worship. Like I had said, they're not all bad, but most of them are. I understand what you're saying, Randy. I'm not saying that all cops and all members of the military are good and won't be used against us. But
Of course not. And uniform and badge worship across the board, whether it's good people or bad people, is a broken philosophy that only leads to trouble. You know, that they are men and women just like us. And as per how this nation is supposed to be, have no more power than us, because we delegate the power from the sovereign individual to the people that are working for us. They are our employees. We are the boss. You know, so, yeah, no, it's completely ludicrous to be putting them up on a pedestal as an authority. They're a servant. There's a very big difference.
We're working right now to get these guests on, folks. Sorry about the delay on that. We're going to be trying to get Darren Wilburn of CECOM on right now. We're going to see what we can work there. But I'm not denying that these police revenue collectors and U.S. military will be used against us. I'm not arguing that by any means. I'm also not saying that they're all good, they're all wonderful and almighty.
And they're not all bad. It's exactly. The problem is, in this world, you get people, you know, thinking, you know, only two ways, absolute, either yes or no, either right or left. You know, when everything usually falls somewhere in the middle. You know, life's a bunch of shades of different colors and hues and grays. You know, it's not all black and white. It never has been. And when you try to put this, you know, rigid, just, you know, on or off logic into this, it doesn't work. That's why they've been trying to get the entire society to think either one way or the other, on or off, black or white. It's got to stop.
You're either with us or with the terrorists.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you either follow everything Israel says or you're an anti-Semite. You know, that kind of shit. It's got to stop. That's not how life actually works. Not in the real world.
Right. And what I had said was, it's not, I agreed with you when you had said that it's not time to go out popping cops. That is not at all what we need to do, because they have a horrible, horrible wolf pack mentality.
That they do.
And regardless of whether or not they like the one that happens to be in your crosshairs, they will come at you and it will be against what we want. I mean, I don't know how to say it, how else to say it. If we... I don't know how else to say it. I'm not worshiping the badge. I'm not worshiping the uniform.
Hey, I think we got Darren on with us.
Yes, I'm trying to figure this guy thing out.
Well, you got some background noise in there, but I think we got you connected.
Well, right now, folks, we have Darren Wilburn, also known as White Owl, from the Southeast Constitutional Militias. It's not a group that is going to nationalize and nationalize and create a national militia. They understand that is unlawful, as most of us here do. Also, what they're trying to do is work on standardization to a certain degree, getting groups, different units in communication with each other, and really working on getting committees of safety working together. So, Darren, thanks for coming on. I always like having you on. How's
Thank
everything
you.
On there tonight?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Dave, are you getting that kind of scrambled too, or is it just me?
You know, it's a little bit on the garbled side, but you know, maybe if he talks for a second, we'll be able to suss out what the problem is.
All right. I thank you for having me on, inviting me back. I'm sorry that the message is coming through garbled. Are you able to work it out?
We're getting bits and pieces there, Darren.
Yeah, it's not good. It sounds like a bandwidth issue. Can't be absolutely for certain on that. I'm probably going to start having problems here in a minute. We got some storms rolling through. And my internet always goes to pot right about the time it starts storming. We managed to get through the first hour pretty clean, but I can't promise how stable I'm going to be. This whole Skype thing, it's kind of a pain sometimes. We'll try to muddle through. I unfortunately don't have any out dials or any other way to link up via landlines right now. We're still addressing that problem, so we just kind of have to muddle on along.
Well, I'm going to try something here real quick. So I'm going to mute out for about 15 seconds. I'm going to leave it to you, Dave, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think I've pretty much spoken my mind tonight. I did get a little ranty, and I apologize for that. But good grief, you know, this has been just getting worse and worse. And, you know, being a true patriot, it boils my blood to see what this country is starting to turn into and what they want to turn it into. And the fact that there's so few people, you know, getting, you know, really organized and doing useful things. I'm so glad that we've got CECOM doing what they're doing because they are making a difference. And we do have good folks doing meaningful things, and we need to get more. We need to get more people. We need to find the ones that are awake and aware, you know, with a good, honest desire, you know, to solve the problems in the least messy way possible. You know, but with the resolve to follow it through no matter what it takes. You know, it's a fine balance. It's going to be a small group of people.
Darren, check the text box in the call window here. I gave you my phone number. Call me. I'm going to see if we can't get this going, okay?
All right.
Sorry about that, Dave. Keep going.
Well, not a problem. Hey, you know, we'll do what we got to do. You know, I apologize for the infrastructure. We're looking into some other more long-term solutions, you know, for interfacing with phone lines, internet phones, and all of that, trying to get away from this Skype technology. Now that Microsoft bought it out, you can be absolutely assured that the quality of it's going to continue to degrade like it has over the last year, and will at some point become utterly unusable, like most of the other stuff has. You know, we're at the mercy of the tools and technology that we've got, and we're trying to make the most out of it. And unfortunately, it ends up being a bumpy ride sometime. We're not funded. You know, we're doing this because we believe in the cause, that we love our country, we love the Constitution, and we want to see our republic, you know, put back strongly on its feet, where freedom and liberty are assured, where prosperity again can be possible, where we're not getting looted by these damn banks, you know, with every step that we take, with every transaction that we make, you know, getting taxed up and down, left and right, all the usury and everything else, you know, it's gone too far. And it's starting to implode on itself. And under its own weight, it's going to collapse. You know, we've got to be ready to rebuild this nation back to what the founders had intended. All right, Fox, you getting that figure checked out?
Yeah, I think we might be able to do something here with speakerphone. Darren, go ahead and you know, tell us what you're doing down there with CCOM. Dave, tell me if this is coming in okay.
Okay. Are you able to hear me okay?
Are you able to hear that, Dave?
Yeah, we're able to hear, but we're getting an awful lot of echo.
Okay.
Hold on just a moment. I'm going to be able to take care of that.
Wow. Sorry about this. All right, Dave, is he coming in clear on your end now?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, Darren, give us and the viewers a little introduction into what CCOM is doing right now as far as getting militia units and committees of safety coordinated, standardized, and in touch with each other.
Roger that. Okay, to reiterate, CCOM is absolutely not a militia. It is a tool for various militias to use. It's no more a militia than the WRAM site is a militia, or than your radio show is a militia. It's just tools for patriots and separate militia units in the Southeast to use to standardize our training, coordinate communication between units, bring us more to a professional militia standard. Each militia that participates as a CCOM unit is obviously, they stay within their state confines, and each are autonomous in their own, you know, they have their own rank structure, how they, even our state laws are different, where some of the southeastern states, having members who have an actual rank is perfectly legal. Here in Florida, it is not. We don't have rank in Florida. Again, so that people understand, CCOM, first of all, does not have any type of leadership. Many, many people working to support and structure the units inside CCOM. But again, CCOM itself does not have a commander, for lack of a better term. I don't think I've spoken to you since our multi-state meeting in Georgia. Is that correct?
Yeah, I haven't had you on or anything since my first show, actually, with Amelia and all those guys.
Well, first, I have to give high praise to Amelia. She was able to accomplish what has never been accomplished throughout the history of our country. She was able to get representatives and leaders from 9 states together in one location for a meeting. That didn't even happen in the Revolutionary War. It was absolutely amazing. There was no hate speech or anarchy speech, or everything was absolutely above board, professional, and concerned about the improvement of not only the proficiency of militia, but the militia image itself. And that's actually pretty important, because how we're perceived will directly affect how effective we're going to be able to be in our separate communities. Right now, my unit is actually negotiating with our neighborhood watch program, absolutely anti-Second Amendment. So she wants all of these people patrolling not-so-nice neighborhoods while putting a target on them and giving them radio only as their only form of self-defense. And because she doesn't understand what militia truly is, yet, I'm working on it, it's a dirty word, or it's a bad word, which then eliminates our effectiveness inside just the neighborhood watch program. So how we're perceived is incredibly important. And it's time for the members of militia across the United States to understand what militia is supposed to be about. And it's not about you and the defense of your family only. It's about the protection and support of your entire community. And sometimes it takes personal sacrifice. Often it takes personal sacrifice. Placing the needs of your community above your own personal needs sometimes is a necessity.
We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our sacred honor, and our fortune. So it's not exactly. It's personal sacrifice that's going to bring about the change that we need. Now, you said with the neighborhood watch and things that you're doing with the community, if I'm not mistaken, you guys did some good stuff for the Deep South after the tornadoes.
Well, we were blessed enough to have some support, have people put donations together, supplies, money. Not nearly as much as I'd like. We would have liked to have made several trips, but we were able to load a trailer up with items and food to take to the tornado-damaged, actually the destroyed areas of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Seeing the damage firsthand was just absolutely amazing and incredibly disheartening to see that kind of, these people have literally lost everything. I don't think if it had been a citywide fire, it could have done as much damage as these tornadoes did. But yeah, we're blessed enough to have people put as much together as they could muster, and it was on sort of short notice because we had just gotten back from Georgia, and the tornadoes had happened just prior to our meeting. So everyone was scrambling to get both the multi-state meeting taken care of, as well as getting the Alabama relief supplies together. Leighton Wyman of Texas had come over, was visiting, and was kind enough to volunteer his time and his vehicle to tow the trailer, 6x12 U-Haul. Now, we loaded pretty much stem to stern, top to bottom. And you'd be surprised how much you can get in a small trailer like that when you pack it, right? And we received some help from other individuals in the panhandle of Florida, people who had firsthand knowledge of the Tuscaloosa area so that they knew exactly where to direct us to make sure that the items were dropped off at the proper locations to the right people. And helping, obviously, when you help someone else, it does make you feel good. But it's a shame that we weren't able to continuously take items up there because they're still in desperate need. And now we've got destroyed areas with the flooding and other issues in the southeast. Anything anyone can do to help would be greatly appreciated. Not just by me, the Charter Oaks, or other CCOM units, but by the people that live there who desperately need the help.
Now, for people who do want to help and want to get in touch with you, you fire out an email or anything that you're comfortable putting out there for people who to get in contact with you and start helping out.
Well, if people don't have direct involvement with a militia in their area, what I mean by that is if they don't have donation drives going on themselves, they obviously can contact any of the disaster relief groups. CERT units, CERT being the Community Emergency Response Team units, the Red Cross, any and all things that can be done that way. I believe there is a donation page on the WRAM. And I know that we also have a donation page on CECOM. But that's just for funds. It's hot item there. People who have lost all of their footwear, you know, it's gone. And they're walking around in broken rubble barefoot. That's a big problem.
Now, what is the site for CECOM, if you would?
Yes, www.CECOM, that's S-E-C-O-M, .spruz, S-P-R-U-Z, .com. So it's www.ccom.spruz.com.
Okay. Now, with organizing and helping helping out community, you know, working with Neighborhood Watch.
I'm sorry?
Excuse me. Working with Neighborhood Watch and the community and things like that. Are you at CECOM working to establish and coordinate committees of safety with each other?
That is exactly what we are working on. As a matter of fact, we have, Amelia has been working on for quite a while, and we've gotten things together. June 16th in Orlando, Florida, many, many, many Tea Parties and other patriot groups that aren't necessarily militia-based, but still are interested in patriot movement itself, are coming together at the Goldenrod Community Center in Orlando, Florida on June 16th. This will be the largest exposure of the committees of safety to the Tea Parties and other patriot groups. We believe that many of these people who may not be able to train in the field or even you know, endure survival training, as many militias do, excuse me, they can still serve a very, very useful purpose on the committees of safety. And so, as I said, Goldenrod Community Center in Orlando, Florida, on June 16th. Information is available on the Militia Unity Project website. And if I may, I'd like to give that website out. Anyone can go to the site, and it's more about groups signing up than it is individuals. But if you're not part of a group, of course you can sign up to the Militia Unity Project. And it is, that's part of the, may I give that website out?
Oh, yeah. I actually plugged it earlier on today.
Okay. The details of the June 16th meeting are fully available on the Militia Unity Project website, and that is www.militiaunityproject.spruz.com.
Yeah, I had started off the broadcast tonight speaking about the BS going on in Indiana, and you know, hoping that our posterity knows that we were doing our best to find a peaceful solution to all of this.
Roger that.
So yeah, I did plug that. I enjoy the site a lot, and that is, I suggest everybody who's listening go on, check it out, and probably register if you want to. It's it's good stuff. And
there are two more things that I would like to mention. One being the Ohio Valley Minutemen, who had leadership representation at the multi-state meeting in Georgia. Their current commander is known as Sandman. And Sandman has put out a call asking for as many militias as can participate. Please do a 2 or 3 minute introduction of your unit, your area, on video. He would like these videos sent to him through the Militia Unity Project, because he puts together some pretty insightful and thoughtful videos on YouTube. They're not hate, kill, destroy, and overthrow the government videos. These are just thoughtful, very insightful videos, and he would like to have as many people as from each militia around, especially the Southeast, but from around the country. He would like to have video snippets to put together a sort of, I guess, video collage of the different units. Again, that information can be found on the Militia Unity Project website, and I'm sure he'd be willing to speak with anyone that was interested in that to answer any other questions or address any concerns that they may have about that. This, again, is an effort to improve the image of militia. We've been vilified and demonized long enough, and most of the, all of our efforts concerning public relations is about returning not just the word, but the entire dedication of militia to a noble status that it once enjoyed.
Now, I had spoken with Major Cross several times, but when I first had him on one of the first shows, he said the Ohio Minutemen, not the Ohio Valley Minutemen, two different groups here, is a generational thing. It's going to be passed on, and it's going to be generational. Now, is that something that CECOM has in mind, is passing this on to posterity and keeping it in place after we are all passed on?
Well, I'm of a firm mind that no matter how functioning our government is, no matter how happy and secure our people are, there is always a need for militia. Militia is, that is the men and women of each community who take the well-being, the welfare of that community to heart and are willing to stand up and take action on that behalf. It's not just about firearms and field training. You know, it's about being active, honorable men and women in our communities. So, I guess, to answer your question, I would hope that militias never go away.
Yeah, it is a personal responsibility to take the responsibility of taking care of the community and aiding in whatever situation. And primarily, the militia is a paramilitary force. And I don't care how it's construed or how you decide, not you personally, Darren, how anybody decides to bend my words, that is what the militia is for. And it's absolutely amazing what CECOM has done for the tornado victims and the destroyed areas for that. And that is something that is going to help. How receptive were people down there when you were bringing them the supplies? How receptive were they to the word militia?
It was interesting. We got those supplies at two different locations. The first location was a very diverse group of people, all walks of life, ages, races. It was a large center. We couldn't drop off all of our items there. They were understaffed and overwhelmed. So we went to a second location, a much smaller location, and it was an ethnic church that was. They were very gracious and helped us unload our items and were thanking us. And we mentioned that this was from the militia. When the word militia came out of our mouths, people stepped back and gave us a wide berth. And I understood that at that point, I suppose in Alabama, there's a large negative racist connotation attached to the word militia. And it was unfortunate, but we were able to discuss that with members of this church. And by the time we left, you know, they realized that we were there to do nothing.
Sounds like we lost you. Still there, Darren? And the call has been lost. Sorry about that, folks. I'm going to try to get him back on for everybody. Once again, while we're in the little transitional area, if anybody wants to come online, I know we've gotten a few different viewers, or listeners, excuse me, on here. Feel free, drop your name in the chat room. Hey, Darren, we lost you there for a second. Sorry about that. Feel free to drop your Skype name in the chat room. We'll bring you on. I'd love to have some listener participation. Anything you agree with, disagree with, what you want covered, anything like that. Open lines for whatever. We got about another 40 minutes. Excuse me, and we still have Darren on. So keep going with your last thoughts. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. There's one final organization Security Project website. However, we do have a CECOM unit in Miami who is putting on a call that the leader of that particular unit is Al Rivero, also known as Florida Patriot. And this is the South Florida 27th Constitutional Militia. They are they're reaching out to the counties around them. Believe it or not, in a large metro area like Miami, people are less likely to be interested in recruitment than they are in the smaller areas. And Al is a great guy, good man. He works hard for the militia. And if we could get the word out to have people check his website, which is they can link to it through the CECOM site or on RAM. They can also WRAM. Again, it's the South Florida 27th Constitutional Militia. They do have their unit is a CECOM unit, and I believe that this is next month, beginning of next month. He would like to have a multi-county meeting in South Florida. And as many people, of course, you know, there's no fee or anything like that. This is just information. We'll be explaining what CECOM is. We'll be explaining the Committees of Safety. And he'll be explaining exactly what his unit does. So if you can have your listeners check the South Florida 27th Constitutional Militia. They do have a website, although I'm not exactly certain of the exact address, but I know it can be reached through WRAM and can be linked to by contacting Florida Patriot on the CECOM site.
Okay. Now, if you don't mind me asking, and I hope I'm not violating any kind of OPSEC rules you have, what kind of things are you working on with CECOM working on right now to get people like coordinated? What kind of things are being worked on right now with CECOM?
When the Florida Charter Oaks, that's our team, that is our militia team, and our team is a part of CECOM. When we went to Alabama, Amelia was able to fly up to Michigan and work with the Michigan militia in helping them start the exact same thing for their area to include the states of, obviously, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, and West Virginia. Now, she's not going to organize that for them, but she's giving them ideas and how we were able to get the multi-state meeting in Georgia to function. Eventually, we'd like to travel out to the border states. The border states have an entirely different set of problems, we all share problems inside the United States, but they have an entirely different set of problems, and we'd like to work with leaders from Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, or at least Southern California, to help them coordinate as well. That's as far as our plans have gone so far. Well, we're really working the bugs out of this, and I'm working with a great man, an attorney. I don't know if he wants me to say his name, but he's dedicated the last four, after a successful career as a lawyer, he's dedicated the last 4 years of his life to constitutional law. And he's also working hand-in-hand with Gary Hunt. This man has a wealth of knowledge, especially when it comes to exact constitutional law. And he is he's helping to... We've run CECOM through him and let him examine exactly what is going on with CECOM. He finds it absolutely constitutional. There's no issue because CECOM, again, is not a militia. It's simply a tool for militias to use. He is helping Gary in every way he can in getting the word out about the Committees of Safety, because this attorney, obviously, you know, he agrees with Gary that militias must be subordinate to a civil authority. Otherwise, and I think I've said this before, otherwise, if you have militias that do not answer to a civil authority, which is directly responsible to the community, then what you've got basically are groups of warlords with no direct link to the communities that they are there to support in the judicial authority, initially when I started speaking with his attorney, he thought that perhaps we have to use our city councils, county governments, all the way up to the governor's office. When I explained to him that, well, the problem lies in trust with those, and then introduced him to the idea of committees of safety, and I took him as far as I could take him in my understanding of committees of safety, and that's when I passed him off to Gary so he could further his education. Then he became very excited because it is the civil authority that militias must respond to, and it's going to be much more functional and directly responsible to the people of the community. In other words, committees of safety are going to give a damn what people want.
Right. That is something I do want to touch on in a quick second. The civil authority and things of that nature. Now, in the chat room here, I have a listener speaking about the word revolution and how taboo it's become. Revolution is a bad word now. I disagree, obviously. Mr. Puppet, as Randy said, not all revolutions are violent. 99% of them are not violent. A revolution like in the 50s and 60s, rock and roll, that was a revolution. Now, that wasn't an effective revolution by any means, but it was a revolution. Now, another revolution is exactly what CECOM is doing right now and what Amelia has done, getting nine states' leaders representing in a meeting to coordinate and get militia units in the on the same page. That was a revolution itself. It didn't even happen in the American a war for independence. So not all revolutions are bad. Not even in the face of a firefight, Captain John Parker on Lexington Green before the shot was fired said, "Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have a war, then let it begin here." Now that is an extremely defensive stance to take in the face of a firefight and the beginning of a war. What happened before, everybody calls a revolutionary war, the war for independence. What happened before that, that was the revolution. People awakening to what is happening. We're experiencing a revolution now. People are awakening in droves, and we as the militia don't have to do very much. All these people need to do, all we need to direct them to, is what is coming out of Capitol Hill. For example, what we touched on earlier, the Indiana Supreme Court ruling that if a police officer wants to walk into your house, no problem, warrant or not. And if you dare look at him wrong or resist in any way, shape, or form, you will be punished to the fullest extent of the law. Now,
this, I'm sorry, I have to touch on that.
Go ahead.
That is such a flagrant burning of the Fourth Amendment. It's not even ignoring it. It's just burning it, discarding it completely. I can't see how that will stand. And if it does, I don't want to sound like peace, love, and Gandhi throughout all, but we did. The truth is, we've become so indoctrinated to the idea that any and all forms of violence are negative. And I'm here to tell you right now, if someone broke into your home and attacked your wife, the violence that you offer him is not a negative thing. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
Now, the Fourth Amendment very clear. In the Constitution, there are other articles in the Constitution that talk about sovereignty of an individual's property in their home. Now, if you allow a police officer, we constantly tout ourselves as a nation of laws. However, if you allow the very individuals that are tasked with enforcing those laws to break them, how can we be truly a nation of laws? We're not. We're not. We're allowing special privilege for government intrusion.
there's a difference between legal and lawful, and the difference now is we are no longer a nation of the law. We are a nation of legalities and municipal code.
Exactly. I agree with you. Yes. Absolutely. And there comes a time when that becomes so blatantly ridiculous that it's not only your right, but it's your obligation to ignore. People cannot confuse complacency with morality. They're not synonymous. If you continue to allow that type of violation of our most sacred document in the construction of this country, then really you are as much a part of the problem as the person who passed that. I mean, I can't believe these Supreme Court justices on a state level could even consider that this was okay.
Oh, nope, still here. Sorry, I thought I lost you for a second. It has become a, give them an inch and they'll take a mile. And they get away with this because the people do not understand. The role of the Supreme Court is not to rule on the constitutionality of the Bill of Rights. You cannot rule on whether or not the Constitution is constitutional. What you rule on
Article 7 of the Constitution declares it a properly ratified document. The Constitution already declares itself constitutional in Article 7.
Exactly.
The end of the document says this was properly ratified, and it is as clear as humans can come to understanding that this does not give us rights, it protects the government from taking those rights. I mean, it protects us from the government taking those rights. The Constitution is an instruction manual and an injunction, a protective order. Your rights are derived from a much higher source.
Exactly. It's not, the Supreme Court has no business and no authority to say that we now have a modern Fourth Amendment, as they so wonderfully and elegantly put it. The job for changing and altering and amending the Constitution must be through an Article 5 convention. I didn't see anything happen with a constitutional convention, so as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks this, whatever the Supreme Court says, I don't care. You can rule on whatever you want, you can say whatever you want, you can create whatever law. If it contradicts the Constitution and the 10 Bill of Rights, the first 10 articles to the Bill of Rights, I just don't care. Because it has no moral authority, and it has no lawful authority.
Roger that. And what is called for in this situation, if any one of us goes against this municipal authority and is prosecuted, militia is just beginning. The people themselves who understand what the Constitution is about must stand up in one voice and say, absolutely not.
Yeah, there's, after this ruling came out, I think maybe hours after, a sheriff in Indiana said, I'll go door to door, I'll send my deputies door to door if I think it's necessary or if I think I have to. Really? Well, I'll meet you out there. And I promise you, if I hear that the sheriff's department is going door to door for whatever reason, I will be there to meet them.
Roger that.
And I can only hope that there will be plenty more of us. I mean, I can speak firsthand that Northwest Indiana gun shops are, the AKs are hard to find, and there is no 7.62-39 Wolf ammo. All that's left is the brass, the high-end, expensive hunting stuff, and the Tula, which is garbage. I'm not the only one who thinks this, and if you think that you're going to go door-to-door, you're not going to just meet me out there. I'm not going to be the only one standing there saying no. This will not happen.
The only way the Republic can be saved is by the inhabitants of that Republic standing up for it. That's the only way.
Good point. Well, I think we're going to move back on to where we were before, before stepping off into the into all this. Unless there's anything else you want to put out there for our listeners on the Indiana situation.
No. Actually, I'm waiting to see if that can be upheld. I'm hoping that it's challenged in a format that is recognized by the current powers that be, so that that can be discussed intelligently and eliminated before it becomes a problem for the citizens.
Yeah, exactly. Well, where we were before was the civil power and people, in personal conversation and things of that nature say, well, it's not spelled out in the Constitution and law, you know, it's not mentioned anywhere else, and there's no law saying, well, the second article to the Bill of Rights was almost not added. And there are mentions in the Ohio Constitution to the militia subordinating to the civil power. There is also mention in the Declaration of Independence, however brief, he has rendered the military independent of and superior to the civil power. Now that nowadays, obviously, in the thesaurus and encyclopedia, you're not going to find Committee of Safety history. It's been stricken. And there are forces at work to eliminate more than that in the textbooks. But civil power is mentioned. I can't speak for any other state constitutions. I'm sure it's in there. I know it's in the Ohio Constitution, in their equivalent to the Second Amendment. And it has been mentioned in the Declaration. But as you said, it's not lawful. You will have warlords. And I'm glad you mentioned that word, warlord. If a violent revolution was to start today, this country would effectively turn into Somalia, with different blocks and communities run by those who have more firepower. And without this civil power, without the civil authority, without committees of safety, it is questionable as to whether or not militia, your unit, is lawful. Without that, what's the word I'm looking for here? Legitimacy of having that civil power above your militia and an effective, cohesive unit subordinate to it. You know, what kind of suggestions would you give out to people? And we got about 20 minutes left. Who want to work their way to starting a committee of safety?
I would start with a clear mission statement of what the Committee of Safety, or that particular community's Committee of Safety, intends to encompass within its, or under its, not authority, but area of responsibility, or areas of responsibility. A very clear mission statement saying, we will, for the people of this community, represent and be responsible for the following areas. Have that clearly defined. I think that it's very, very, very important that they put limits on how long a person can serve on the committee and how often. We already know the effects of lifetime politicians, career politicians, and unless we want to, in the community that their committee is responsible for, then they can no longer serve on that committee. They'll have to serve on a committee that represents the community that they do live in. This was how it was supposed to be with our congressmen and representatives to begin with. They were supposed to go off to Washington, legislate for the benefit of the people, and then go back and live inside the community that they just passed legislation on, under the exact same laws that they made for everyone else. Well, that's not the way it is. As we know, our representatives now are certainly not held by the laws that they pass that affect the people that live in the areas they come from. And even healthcare. I was very vocal about it from the very beginning. Anything that they're willing to sign up for, we'll discuss. I'm saying absolutely, but we'll discuss it. But that was never even on the table. It was never on the table that they would be discussing a healthcare system that they being Congress, representatives, Congress, senators, and representatives, would also be a party to. So, get back to the original question. Communities of safety, I think, will be different in each community based on its needs. You know, if you have a 10-block by 10-block city area, inner city area, their problems and areas of responsibility are going to certainly be very different than a community of safety from a larger area of a town that only has one stoplight. So, identifying individuals for potential membership, or not membership, but participation in the committee of safety, and then drafting a clear mission statement of what that committee is about. After that's established and they're up and running, they need to communicate with other committees of safety in their adjoining areas so that, again, we avoid the broken down warlord segment by segment type of situation. Committees of safety not only need to represent their communities and be responsible for their welfare, but also coordinate with other committees of safety so that we live in a more harmonious existence.
Right. You're setting up a mission statement, basically a constitution for your specific committee of safety. I sure hope I don't catch any flack for this, but I'm going to go put it out there right now. OhioMinutemen.webs.com, WEBS.com. And the top little catalog of links and tabs here, it says, you know, home, about us, members. On the second line, the first link is to committees of safety. Just a few of the things that a community working with itself and other communities within the state and around the country can achieve today. And it lists a few things that you really need to consider when setting forth a mission statement. And if these are the things that you want to be participating in. Because like you said, these career politicians have no idea what the people want. To be more specific, they don't care. If our politicians cared about what we wanted, there wouldn't have been the bailouts. There wouldn't have been several things, and if the politicians were actually working for us, things would be quite different right now, guaranteed.
Oh, Congress, I mean, if they cared about the American people at all and the Constitution, they would never have abdicated their responsibility to have a voice in whether the president can take military action or not. And by saying, yes, we should be part of the UN, which we all know we are the UN. We're the ones that funded equipment and supply the personnel for it. All they've done is completely remove Congress's authority in acts of war. And they've handed entirely too much power to a single individual.
It's become a monarchy by definition when the President of the United States can issue executive order, and that's that.
Yes, yes. And although I'm not a constitutional scholar, I really have scoured the Constitution, stem to stern, many, many times, and I cannot find any mention of executive orders or SARs anywhere in the Constitution.
You know, I couldn't seem to find anything either. And to my listeners, the Constitution and Declaration aren't exactly lengthy documents. Article 1, Section 7 lists very few jobs that Congress is entitled to do. And the Bill of Rights and the states' rights leaves the rest to us. The states and ultimately...
to the states and to the people, respectively, whatever is not specifically granted to the federal government nor prohibited by the Constitution falls directly to the states and the people, respectively.
Exactly. I know I can speak for the Texas Bill of Rights because I have read that. I do forget the article and number and all these things, but the Texas Bill of Rights states that anything that directly contradicts the Texas or federal government's Bill of Rights, or excuse me, not the federal government's Bill of Rights, the U.S. Constitution, U.S. Bill of Rights, Texas Constitution, Texas Bill of Rights, is null and void. Now, that is in the Texas Bill of Rights. And I have a hard time believing that Texans would go along with the elimination of their fourth article rights. I shouldn't say rights, because these are more freedoms. And that, I don't want to say a cheesy statement, but that statement, the freedom isn't free, is true. A freedom needs to be fought for and defended. A right is simply given. Now, we are given the rights, but we are responsible for protecting them. It is not the Constitution's job to protect us. It is our job to protect the Constitution. And everything that it stands for, all the jobs, I shouldn't say the very few jobs that Congress, Senate, these branches of government are granted, it is our job to rein them in when they get out of hand. And Congress seems to ignore everything they're supposed to do and reach their filthy little hands into everything that they want.
Well, I've said before in some of the writings that I've done in the past that the elected servants have now appointed themselves the ruling elite. And that is absolutely not the way it was intended. And that's not the way that we should ever stomach it. Now, I hate to chastise the American people. However, I'm beginning to fear that the majority of American people do not want freedom, because freedom requires responsibility, and they don't want to be responsible. The problems should be solved by someone else, and they should never get involved or have to be disturbed in their lives to solve the problems that we face. That means, because people have you said it's a cheesy statement, freedom's not free. It's not only achieved and obtained through the blood of patriots. It's also achieved and maintained through the efforts of the people. They have to be responsible. That's what freedom is. They have to be responsible for themselves, their communities, their friends, their family. When something's wrong, fix it. Don't complain about it and wait for someone else to do it.
Right. This brings me to my next point, and that's a Malcolm X statement. I don't agree with everything that Malcolm X said. A lot of what he said was unreasonable. But he did say one quote that stood out to me, and that is, "When government fails us, as it has, the federal government itself has failed us, we stop turning to them and we turn to ourselves." And that is what the committees of safety are. People who are in touch with what's going on in the community, in the state, in the county, who know what's going on. Because guess what? They don't live on Capitol Hill. They can't vote themselves raises. They can't elect themselves new powers. They live here. They know what's going on better than you do, Mr. Representative, Mr. Senator. This is what this is about. This is a revolution in itself, and it is not violent. This needs to be achieved so violent revolution is avoided.
Absolutely. I agree with you. No one prays for the end of war or the avoidance of war as much as the soldier who's seen it. And I absolutely hope that we are able to achieve the enlightenment of the American people into making them understand that they are the government. They are the power. They are the authority.
We
elect representatives to enact their will, not have representatives' will imposed upon them.
Exactly.
Now, true intellectual means.
Like I said earlier, a revolution via the cartridge box will wreck this country overnight. We do not have a network of committees of safety that would affect real change. And like you had mentioned, freedom is responsibility, and people don't want that. This is where things started taking a turn when we heard these politicians say, well, I'll fix this for you. I'll help. I'll change everything on Capitol Hill, and I'll make everything better for you. Now, Rush Limbaugh, of all the BS that he does say, there's one thing that I respect him for. And he had a caller call in and say, why don't you run for office? And he goes, because I'd either be shot or I wouldn't last more than a couple weeks. I would not, I'm not going to, he said, I will not do what Bill Clinton has done. I will not get up there, look you in the face and say, oh, well, I'll fix everything for you. I'll make it better. You just sit at home and wait. I'll make it better. No, you're Americans, and I'm going to tell you, I'll be here to protect your freedom. You're going to be there to fix what you need. This is America. You are Americans. The most basic ideal that we have as Americans is changing things if it's wrong. We can't count on Congress to change anything. No, I take that back. We can't count on Congress to change things for the better for us. They elect themselves higher salaries regardless of how well they do. I'll tell you, if I did what the Wisconsin representatives did when I needed to work, I'd be fired. I wouldn't get a raise. I wouldn't still be getting a paycheck.
When they disappeared, the Democratic representatives disappeared and couldn't be brought to, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring?
Yeah, when they left, when they needed to vote to avoid it. I'd get fired. I don't know about anybody else. Maybe I'm wrong here. I'd lose my job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is
when, throughout history, again, and I reference them as elected servants because they are servants to the community of the people. When have servants been authorized to speak to and treat their masters the way
I have to interrupt and change the subject a little bit here, but Randy left a comment here. I am not Toby from Roots. I will not ask permission. I bow to no man, and I do as I please, as long as I don't pick another man's pocket or break his leg. Good point there, Randy. Now, I want to say something. Forgive me, was it John Adams who was the first diplomat to the King of England who didn't bow? And he was asked, why are you not bowing before the King? Because I am an American and I am a sovereign citizen. And now look at this travesty. Our president bowing and kissing the rings of the Saudis. I'm sorry, but that makes my knuckles white.
It certainly does. It can be perceived in such a manner as to indicate more nefarious imaginations, huh? Or imaginings. I've been, as you might imagine, involved in a couple of heated discussions concerning the things that we discussed. And one thing that got me cussed more often than not is my assertion that I'm a firm believer, because many, many, many people, well, everyone, now it's everyone, sees the problems that we're facing, and they're very vocal about it. They speak out constantly about it. But when I tell them I am a firm believer that you should never define a problem without having at least one solution in mind that you yourself are willing to implement.
Yeah, that goes back to something my football coach, even he said, I'm not going to ask you to do something I wouldn't do myself.
What I'm saying is all of these people that I'm encountering, and it's more and more every day, that see problems with everything from traffic light video cameras all the way through the healthcare debacle. They all decry the situation. They complain. But when I ask them, what are you going to do about it? The response is almost unanimous. What can I do about it? I mean, what the hell do you mean? What can you do about it?
What's worse is when these people say things to me, and I've gotten this a lot, is, I don't give a shit. There's nothing I can do. Excuse me, but you are the boss. I am the boss. We are in charge. We cut them their checks. I don't, you know what? You personally, not you, Darren, I don't know what to tell you to do. Like that movie Network. I don't know what to tell you to write to Congress. I don't want you to riot, blah, blah, blah. I just want you to get mad. That's a good start. Start looking at what they're doing. Start understanding that they don't care about your rights anymore. Oh, it's your right to get...
Anger is a much more useful emotion than empathy or complacency.
Exactly. It may be...
I'm afraid I'm going to have to sign off here. I have a lot of things I've got to get to. And I really appreciate you having me on. And any time that you'd like to speak to me in the future, please give me a call.
Sure, thank you. I'll definitely try to have you on later on. If you wouldn't mind, though, before you go, if you're not in too much of a rush, fire out a couple websites, Militia Unity, CCOM.
Yes. Again, Militia Unity Project, I encourage people to at least go read through the material and see what it's about. Again, it's www.militiaunityproject.spruz. Spruz is SPRUZ. If I'm not coming through clear, that's Sierra Papa Romeo Uniform Zulu. .com. And CCOM, the CCOM site is www.CCOM, Sierra Echo Charlie Oscar Mike, .spruz, again, SPRUZ, .com.
All right, thanks, Darren. I've always loved having you on, and go ahead and add me on Skype if you wouldn't mind when you sign off, and we can talk later on about getting you on again.
Roger that.
Thanks a lot, man. Have a good night.
Take care.
Well, we covered a wealth of knowledge tonight. We started talking about Indiana, the situations there, and what we offer here on this radio show, on this site, is solution. This is why I don't bother with... I'll just stick with calling them the Patriot Gurus. I'm not going to list any names. All, you know, don't hear too many solutions. But that's what we're here for. That's what myself, Randy, Dave, that's what we're here for. And the biggest solution that we have is creating the committees, getting a cohesive militia unit subordinate to those committees. I have gone from my first broadcast, I have gone through several steps that you can take to create that cohesive militia unit, starting with recruiting, training, rank, everything that you would need to know to start it. But remember, one thing about having a unit is you cannot train from Magpul training videos. You can't sit there, watch the video, and become a master. You need people who have been there. If you're learning tactical maneuvers and individual infantry tactics from somebody whose best resume is being top 10 in Call of Duty, doing something wrong. Get out there and with proper trainers. The NRA trainers are good guys and girls probably. What they do for concealed carry holders is effective. But NRA trainers are not combat trainers. And that's what the militia is for. So, next week, I'm going to see what I can do about getting the next episode of the Zombie Nazi Survival Guide going. And we're going to be talking about firearms, compatibility, standardization, things of that nature. So I'm going to still be going with things you can do to organize, establish, and maintain your militia unit. So that'll be next Saturday, 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 Eastern. And thank you, everybody, for coming on. I really appreciate the listenership and the activity in the chat room and everything else. If you need anything, if you want anything covered, anything. I love listener participation, so feel free to get a hold of me. My Skype name on Skype is Skyfox, ILSL, on there. Add me. Feel free. Just let me know when you're requesting that you heard me on what on You Have Tread on Me. Otherwise, I'm probably not going to accept it. But yeah, I think we're going to be signing off for the evening. Thank you all again for tuning in. I appreciate it. Yeah. Here we go, signing off. Have a good night, everybody. Stay frosty.